So before I mention anything, so I don't spoiler alert, have you seen Star Wars?
I have not seen Star Wars, but I don't care about spoilers, so you can say whatever you want.
Well, it's just like, it's been, the internet is pretty divided. Everybody, I think The Force Awakens had some division around it, but I don't think anyone, or most people didn't love The Force Awakens the way that they loved The Last Jedi, and most people didn't hate The Force Awakens the way that they hate The Last Jedi. So it's like, polar opposites.
Did you see it?
I have, and I loved it.
So, without going into spoilers, because I don't know if you're going to edit this in or not, but I don't mind about spoilers. Spoil me, about whatever. And a friend of mine, I guess, there was... it looked like someone had recorded it on their phone and then made, like, a meme out of it. And it was the confrontation scene. I'm trying to be vague here. and it looked pretty bad. That one scene.
Huh.
Do you know what I'm trying to get at? Or
I mean, towards the end, right? Like the showdown that kind of everybody was waiting for.
Yeah. It looked pretty weird. Granted, I have no context for that, and I'm not a Star Wars fan, so I don't care.
Oh.
But that one scene was like, okay, what the hell's going on with Star Wars?
Well, I guess that's another thing, right? Like, as far as spoilers, it's almost impossible, because that's, like, one of the coolest moments.
Yeah.
Let's just put it this way. If you were taken aback by the movement, like, how they looked when they moved, there is an actual explanation for it.
Okay.
And it's not, if it, see, I don't want to spoil it. If it looks off, there's a reason why it looks off.
Okay. I'll just have to watch it then.
Yeah, and it's pretty deliberate. I mean, you can kind of tell if you, like, especially if you're in the theater, because I've seen it twice now.
Oh.
And, yeah, like, I noticed there are subtle giveaways to what's going on, and you're like, oh, you can kind of tell if you're watching closely what's actually happening before it happened. But in the moment, like, it was an applause moment. Like, people clapped because they were very, it was kind of a cool moment, what happened.
Meanwhile, me, the third-party viewer, watching a shaky cam version of it, it's like, what the fuck is going on with Star Wars? What is this, The Matrix?
Well, I mean, again, this is also, like, spoiler territory that I'm...
Yeah.
But there was another moment that was so... This is what I tell people. It's like, don't talk about Star Wars being unrealistic. Don't complain when it's quote-unquote unrealistic, because it's a movie about space magic and laser swords. Like, the whole thing's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, there was one moment where I was like, really? That can happen now? from a character that previously you would have thought, that well, they can't do that. And then they just did, like, the most impossible... One of the most impossible things that's ever happened in Star Wars comes from this one character where you're like, get out of here. Really?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a couple of those moments that people are kind of griping on, but overall, the quality of the acting, the cinematography, the direction, like, Rian Johnson is no doubt, like, no joke, top-tier director, and a writer as well. And it's a film that, even if it wasn't a Star Wars film, it would be a damn good film.
Well, I'm waiting for the Red Letter Media review to tell me if I like it or not, so...
I'm
kidding.
Red Letter Media is very wise, I mean...
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of movies, and so they keep me up to date on the movies that I don't even want to watch, but anyway...
But I'm sure people will have plenty of other people to tell them about Star Wars. The entire internet's talking about it.
Oh, yeah, seriously. Anyway, trying to make this a segue, one reason I don't really like Star Wars that much is because everyone's a dude, and it was bored as shit when I had to watch it when I was a kid. So, this is my great idea. You're much better at segues than I am. But anyway, welcome, guys. Welcome back. Today, I kind of want, this is a completely my thing, this is what I came up with, is I want to talk about gender, specifically in the Dragon Age series, but also going into the Mass Effect series a little bit, because that's something that it's been on my mind a lot recently, like, ever since getting into it, because there's just so many female fans compared to anything else I've ever been into, so it's a little bit weird for me. Usually I'm the person that, like, likes the boy things, and now I'm liking something that my own gender likes in a way, and that weirds me out a little bit, so I just want to talk about it. So.
It's a good topic to talk about. It's I didn't realize it until a couple of years ago. I think when we started discussing the idea for the show, you mentioned the Reddit, the subreddit surveys that are done on a lot. I mean, they do it on basically every subreddit, but the one for Dragon Age a couple of years ago, I think, revealed that there's kind of a larger than typical female demographic for Dragon Age fans.
I looked it up. So they didn't have a 2017 one, and then Mass Effect, so I'm comparing to the Mass Effect subreddit, which they're currently doing their 2017 one, so we don't have the results to that yet. But as of 2016, the, which tab is this? Out of 968 responses, 49% of them were female, and then 46 were male, and then the rest of the percentage is other. So that means that there is a majority female, at least for this survey, in the Dragon Age subreddit, versus the Mass Effect one of 2016. Out of, they don't have the exact number listed, but it's something around 2,000 responses, 79% is male versus 20% female, 1% other. So
that's really interesting. I honestly didn't remember it even being that. I didn't realize it was majority female on Dragon Age. I knew it was high. I didn't realize it was that high. And I didn't realize Mass Effect was that low.
Yeah. And it's especially since, like, even though the majority is very slight on the Dragon Age subreddit, overall on Reddit, if you look at Reddit surveys, unfortunately I didn't pull this up because I forgot about it. But over time, like, there is a majority male on Reddit. So having a majority female on a subreddit that's not devoted specifically to female issues is really unusual. So, and if you, like, you did this survey on Tumblr, like, Tumblr, for the most part, majority female. And at least speaking for my demographics on YouTube, I don't have a majority female, but I have, like, I think 40% female, which is still pretty high for a gaming channel. So, and also, one thing I do want to point out is that sometimes on Google, it guesses your gender, and that goes into that. Like, for my actual account that I use that isn't the Guildathon account, I didn't put in my gender, and it assumes me as a male. So I'm wondering how much of that is actually correct. So,
wow, Google's really taking some liberties there.
Yeah, I know. Well, like, I get what they're going for. Like, some people don't want to, like, but I think it's specifically for targeted ads. And so it, based upon your searches, it says, like, well, you've been looking up all of these things. People that look up these things are typically male. Therefore, we're going to label you as a male and put in other stuff. And then also sometimes my husband uses my account. So, like, maybe that's also going into that. But it either way, I've been a dude by Google for a very long time, and I'm wondering how many other people are that as well.
So, do you think that maybe the fantasy setting versus the slightly more militarized setting of Mass Effect has something to do with that?
Maybe. I was doing some, like, very light research, and I don't know why I didn't pull it up, but there was a study done by some news website. Let's see if I can pull it up again. But it was basically saying, like, what the top types of gaming categories, this isn't the right word to use, subgenre, what gaming genres does gender parity like? And males predominantly like shooter games, while females predominantly like action-adventure games, which is generally more fantasy setting versus the shooters are more military settings. So, but that being said, I think Mass Effect is more, like, it's sci-fi, but it's less military and than sci-fi, if you know what I'm getting at. Like, I didn't think there was that many military aspects compared to,
right, that was one of the complaints in regards to Andromeda, is that it's actually gotten away from the military aspect, and some people enjoyed it. And I think that even happened throughout the trilogy. I mean, it was definitely still there in 2 and 3, but it definitely became, I wouldn't go so far as to call it swashbuckly, but the Marvel movie formula has really affected pretty much every form of major media, so that there's that real kind of, like, all-star team of heroes almost doing things, as opposed to a group of Marines against all the odds kind of a storyline.
I think I found website. Yeah, okay. So it was by, this is by newzoo.com. I don't know what it is. I've never heard of this before. But they had an article called Male and Female Gamers, How Their Similarities and Differences Shape the Games Market. And in their survey, when was this done? I think this year, May 2017. They had about, let's see. So they actually split those up by console, PC, and mobile games. Let's just talk about PC, because I know more about PC. For the top for men is shooters, top for women is action adventure, And then second is strategy for both. And then third is action adventure for males, and then simulation for women.
Hmm.
So, and for the most part, if you look at the console and the mobile, it's basically the same. There's more puzzles on the mobile, which makes sense because that, you know, more people right. play a puzzle game on mobile. But anyway.
It's interesting that strategy kind of falls into the same, what is it, the third spot for both?
Second spot, yeah.
Second spot for both. That's actually interesting.
So one thing for me that so this is all anecdotal, but a while back ago, there was a Reddit thread that was on Dragon Age subreddit. It was like, why are there so many female fans here? And a lot of responders like, yeah, the Dragon Age subreddit is one of the few places that I just assume everyone's female when they post for some reason. So, and there was kind of a really great discussion on that. And like, I wrote up a small post at least describing like why I liked the Dragon Age series, and something for me, it didn't really click for me until Dragon Age 2, my first time playing it, and I forget what the quest is now, but there's some part in the second act you have to go and talk to a Coterie member for whatever reason, and you go and talk to the member, and you go off to do a thing, you come back, that Coterie member is now dead, and then you have to talk to her boss, which is the leader of the Coterie, and if you notice the pronouns I use, both members that you talk to are female. I was playing a female at the time with my all-female cast, and it kind of clicked like, oh, everyone's a girl here, and this isn't weird.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, it's absolutely. It wasn't being hailed as some unique, you know, like, oh, this is the utopia of feminine society. It wasn't unusual. It just was. And right. that felt really... And I think that's why I like the Dragon Age series. Being a girl in some position of power isn't unusual. It isn't interesting. It just is. I'm not being paraded and hailed as a god because I'm the one female whatever. Like, I don't want that. I'm just equal to the male counterparts.
That is such a true, I mean, obviously it's a true statement, and it's a realization that's similar to the ones that I've had, and obviously it's different because I'm a male, but that realization mm-hmm. of looking around going like, oh yeah, this entire cast right now is female, and you kind of don't even, it's not that you don't notice it, it's just that, like you said, it feels very normal. I guess probably, I don't know when was the first time that I guess I probably wasn't mindful of it until like Mass Effect, so like Mass Effect 1. It definitely mm-hmm. would have happened in KOTOR or KOTOR 2 as far as like BioWare games, because I definitely did female Revan, and mm-hmm. I would have had, you know, like say like Bastila and Juhani in your party, so you've got an all-female party. Mm-hmm. But I think I definitely noticed it probably playing female Shepard, when it's just like, okay, I've got like Tali and Liara or Ashley and Liara, you know, and then like you said, you might be talking to a female character and you realize like, oh yeah, this is an entirely female cast, and you know, not surprisingly, hey, the story still works exactly the same. It doesn't, it's perfectly fine. The story's just as badass. Shepard's just as badass. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think I can imagine a lot of people actually realizing that for the first time playing a BioWare game.
Yeah. And I think that one thing I don't want to do at this conversation is exclude you because you're a dude. So, but I think that in gaming in general, that's something that a lot of games I played growing up missed, where like if you were playing the girl character, like it was like take Mario for instance, if you want to play a girl, you had to be Peach, that was it. And then Daisy came along, but you know, like that was maybe like late mid 2000s by the time right. Daisy was there, but before then it was like, oh, I guess I'm playing Peach, and you have more than two girls in the room, or if you're playing with all girls, because I, you know, you go to summer parties as a girl with only girls, you had to fight over who is Peach because who wants to be the girl.
Sure.
So, and then in Super Smash Brothers you could be Peach or Zelda or Samus, and that would, so you had three of them versus the rest of the cast, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's you had to fight to be yourself in a way. And yeah. I think that's the great thing about it. Maybe it's just me, but recently I feel like there's just been a surge of like female leads in video games. Like you had Horizon Zero Dawn, the new Dishonored game. There's that new Lara Croft series is popping, which Lara Croft is older, but I feel like she's gotten more realistic, where Lara Croft in the like the 90s was like big triangle boobs and short shorts, where now it's like, oh, it's a girl roughing out in the wild. And there you have more games now where you can actually choose which gender you play. I don't know. It's refreshing and I'm welcoming it. But at the same time, it's like, what happened in the gaming industry that was like, oh, wait, girls Girl Spy Games. Maybe we should do more about this.
Yeah, maybe we should do more about it, and maybe it's not going to... Because the unfortunate truth is that there for a long time existed the opinion from the business standpoint that economically you were hurting yourself by using a female protagonist or by making mm-hmm. anything that was aimed towards a female audience, particularly a younger female audience. Like, there's a lot of stuff around cartoons because they think that they can't sell toys to girls.
Yeah.
I think you sent me the article, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. This article was written in 2013 and it's titled, so this is by Gizmodo and it's like, Paul Dini, superhero cartoon executives don't want largely female audiences. So, this is particularly talking about Young Justice and a couple others that I haven't heard of, but I think this also happened to Teen Titans, which I really like Teen Titans and then this disappeared. But, they stopped doing a lot of the superhero shows that are really popular in kind of the, you know, the mid-2010 area because they were having a largely female audiences and they weren't buying the male-oriented merchandise, and so they were losing money. So in that regard, I think that's almost just a failure of the marketing. But...
Yeah, it's a failure. It's a failure of the marketing, but it's also a failure of the thinking. So I've been a huge fan of Paul Dini my entire life. Mm-hmm. Paul Dini is one of the main writers behind Batman the Animated Series, amongst many amazing pieces. I mean, Ben 10, and just like he's a legend in animation as a writer.
Yeah.
But he is like as a kid, like one of the first names inside of credits that I ever paid attention to. Like written by Paul Dini was one of the first things I ever noticed in like a cartoon. It's the first time I ever cared who made something. And so I've been a huge fan of Paul Dini my entire life. And that quote comes from an interview that he did with Kevin Smith on his podcast mm-hmm. called Fat Man on Batman. I remember listening to that quote like the week that that podcast came out. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that Paul Dini was talking about was like, it's such a basic failure of creativity or of thinking. Because mm-hmm. it's a problem that is easily solved by some executive sitting down with a marketing team and going, okay, well, how do we make toys that are going to sell to boys and girls? Like, are you kidding me? You can't solve that problem. You have a room full of people who have formally studied marketing and you can't figure this out. Like, it's such laziness on their part to make money. It's not even like you're asking them to be noble. You're essentially just asking them to be greedy. Like, don't you want to double your potential consumer base? Like, just be greedy. Like, figure out a way to make more money. Like, this is ridiculous that you're limiting writers from being creative with female characters because you can't figure out a way to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was his whole point, which I totally agree with.
I agree with that too. So now I'm just thinking most of my stuff today is probably just be anecdotal, but like growing up, you go into a toy store for girls and it was like, what Barbie doll do you want? Like it was mostly Polly Pockets, Barbie dolls and like baby doll animal toys where it was kind of like role playing real life scenarios. And like all of that sucked. And the only toys I really enjoyed growing up was my mom was so sweet and she worked her ass off to get some like legitimate Sailor Moon toys from Japan. And I loved Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon was my lifeblood that was my Dragon Age before Dragon Age came out. Because it was a whole cast of women who had all their own stories. They were all very unique. Granted, it's anime, so same face syndrome, but whatever. But like they were going on adventures and they're doing all these really cool things and it was female oriented. And like my mom got me just the whole cast of dolls. And I just love those. I actually still have them in my apartment now. They're sitting in a nice little box in my closet, but I still have them. But I just love those so, so much versus like boys. You can just go out to your local Toys R Us and get your cool Batman thing. It was so much easier for you guys. My mom had to like from the 90s. Like, go order off eBay some shady seller who hopefully was selling the right thing, you know? Right. It was a lot harder back then. And nowadays, things are getting easier. You do have, like, one thing that drives me crazy, and, like, I get there's a place for it, is I don't want to, like, harp on feminism a little bit, but, like, I'm still kind of salty about some aspects of it. But they're like, oh, we want more women in STEM. Let's, like, give you a doll of Marie Curie. No, I don't want a fucking doll of Marie Curie. Like, I get, like, you want young girls to be scientists, but the way to do that isn't, like... Like, history is cool, but what kid likes history? Like, you have a very specific type of child that wants an exact, like... The purpose... I will also say that dolls, everyone plays a little bit differently. But like when I was a kid, I wanted a doll that I could do whatever I want with. And like they didn't have their own personality or whatever. I could do what it was. Even my Sailor Moon dolls, I would turn them into something else sometimes. But if you give me a doll of Marie Curie and says, look at this cool scientist, now you have to play as a scientist, I'm going to get bored. Like,
right. Yeah, that's so true.
I don't want... I would much rather play with Barbie as a scientist than like some famous female figure as a scientist. You know what I mean? But
you were waiting for RPGs your whole life.
Like
you
wanted. Was. Oh my god, it was awful. And my parent, like my husband, wonders why I like Dragon Age so much suddenly. But like it's, I think that's why I love RPGs so much. Is exactly what you said. Like I get to create something and just make it my own, and I can make it female, I can make it crazy, I can do whatever I want with it. And back when I was a kid, you just didn't have that. So I guess this episode is about me ranting at my childhood and why kids have it so much better these days, and I'm jealous.
Well, that is kind of the theme, right? Is like, how is it different maybe when you were growing up than it is mm-hmm. now, in a good way? And yeah, I think part of how I relate to it also is just being Hispanic, and so being a person mm-hmm. of color, it's like you can make someone that looks like you, they're the hero of this story, and like you said, it's not at all unusual or different or necessarily yeah. even mentioned. It just becomes normal.
Yeah, which I think that same thing is also which, if harking back to the survey we just read, the Dragon Age subreddit had a much larger percentage of like they just say Dragon Age splits the gender into like transgender. Yeah, so they have gender fluid was 2.5% of 24 people. Transgender female was 1.2% and transgender male was 0.8%. Versus the Mass Effect survey, just in the way it was written, it just says other, you know? And we have a larger percentage of that quote unquote other. So I think in the same way, that's why like people of other sexualities and like those kind of in between genders, like they are more likely to go into Dragon Age because you can just do that so much more easily. Like in Mass Effect, the first male romance was in the last game, you know, like our homosexual gay romance was in the last game with Caden slash Cortez, I think is his name.
So in Mass Effect 3, yeah, I think you can romance Caden and you can romance Cortez. And I guess in Andromeda, they have...
Yeah, Jahl and Reyes and Gil. Right? Yes.
Yes, but Jahl was also kind of controversial because they had to add it in a patch. And apparently it was in there at some point. Like, the dialogue was already recorded. The files were already there. That was a whole other controversy with Andromeda. But they did add it eventually.
Yeah. So I think that's... Now, one thing I want to bring up is why Mass Effect and Dragon Age are so similar. Why is there that huge gap between the two? Like, yeah, you said earlier, maybe it's the space thing, but I think it's going to be more than that. At least talking for me, like, a lot of the female characters drove me crazy a little bit. Like, what they did to Ashley, I think, was a travesty.
Because they made her prettier? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, sort of. It's not so much prettier. Like, it's not about being prettier. It's about, like... In the first game, like, granted, she had pink armor or whatever, which nothing wrong with pink armor. I actually really liked her in the first game. But, like, she had her hair back. She was ready for business. She was gonna go. And in the third game, she had, like, her hair down and, like, in a weird stylized way. And, like, the armor she had was, like, at least in my memory, was, like, kind of low cut and showed off her butt, which that's fine. But I didn't see Ashley as the type to, like, wear that stuff. So it, like, felt like... It wasn't like Isabella or Morrigan, where it's kind of like the sexual image is a part of their character. Actually, I didn't think had that, and then they just kind of plopped it on her because she was there, you know?
So my reaction to that was always that at some point it kind of stops working, and I think it's part of the limitation in that you don't really see different character models and hair models for the characters, which I've always thought is a really basic... I mean, maybe it's not. Maybe it's like super resource intensive, but I've always wondered why they don't just give them different hair, or even like for some of the female characters, like makeup on or makeup off depending on the situation, because I always found the difference in Ashley's appearance, and this is very important, the difference in Caden appearance, because they're both they both look different in Mass Effect 3. Caden also has longer and you could say more stylized hair. Like before, his hair is very, very short in Mass Effect 1 and 2, and then he's kind of got it like it's got a little bit high, like, you know what I mean? And the perception that I had from both of them is that in the initial scene, when you meet them after not having seen them through most of Mass Effect 2, and Mass Effect 3, you meet them, you're next to Captain Anderson, Commander Anderson, and you're basically informed that they've gotten a promotion. And what the tone of that always struck me is like, oh, look at them. They've kind of grown up. They're older. They've gotten a promotion. And then if you look at how they interact with people in Mass Effect 3, they're much more close with the ambassador. They're dealing with more politicians. I kind of always interpret it as they both, maybe even if it's not a part of their personality, they've kind of adapted to be more aesthetic because they're now, they're not in the field maybe as much. And they're having to like rub shoulders with politicians and powerful people now. That's how I always perceived it. Now, once you're on Mars and you're in battle, you're right. It doesn't really make as much sense. But that initial scene, I thought that the updated look for both of them was kind of like that. Oh, look at them now. They're kind of like promoted and sort of with the upper echelon now.
See, that makes sense. I agree with that. Yeah. It's been so long since I played Mass Effect. I think I'm only remembering the, like, in the battle and her, like, hair is perfect. And I'm like, ah, come on.
And it's also like, how does it come out of a helmet that way? You know what I mean? Like, it's impossible.
Yeah, I don't get, like, just the cinematics of it. Like, even your own Shepard can do this where, like, they take off the helmet and, like, the hair is the, you know, the perfect mod or whatever that you put on there. I'm like, no, your hair would be up in, like, one of those, like, weird, like, bald cap things, like, real astronauts have.
It's Kylo Ren hair. Like, that's the most unrealistic part of The Force Awakens is when Kylo Ren takes his helmet off for the first time. I go, bullshit, how's his hair look like that?
Exactly. They sexualized Kylo Ren. How dare they?
I go, his hair is perfect. He just got out of 4 hours of hair and makeup. He just took that goddamn helmet off.
Oh, man. Wait, side note, that guy has the most interesting face. It's like if you took a normal head and then right where, like, the nose is, you just kind of made it longer. Like, you just stretched it out.
Yeah, well, he's a weird-looking dude. And on all honesty, I feel like I'm a weird-looking dude as well. I also have sort of a prominent, distinct nose. Okay. So every time I look, I see kind of like a weird-looking dude doing well. I'm like, yeah, weird-looking dude's doing all right. He's a star of a movie. I go, this does well for me, man. Jesse Eisenberg, Adrian Brody, Michael Cera. Every time these guys do well, I'm like, all right, man, weird looking dude doing all right. This is good for me.
This is really random. Did you ever watch Twin Peaks?
I was a fan. I was not a fan.
That's fair. It's a weird show, man. Michael Cera shows up for one fucking episode, and it is like the funniest. At least look up that scene because it's so weird. Because he just like comes in and like in my memory he has a mustache. I can't remember quite now, but he just like comes in and acts all adult because it's Michael Cera. He has like that baby face, so it's like just really hilarious, and then he just leaves.
He's one of the most awkward human beings, or at least the way he portrays his characters anyway.
I don't think it's an act. I think he just plays himself half the time. Well, I just think
brilliant.
He's an awkward person.
It's brilliant then. That guy found a way to win. He figured out a way to be the most awkward dude on the planet and make bank off of it. So that's a win right there.
Yeah, good for him. Anyway, faces. But
anyway, what was it? Hair. That's right. Ashley's hair being unrealistic. I agree. It was definitely... Maybe they thought of it the way that I described it from a character standpoint, but I can't imagine that somebody didn't think she's going to look better on a poster this way, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. A little bit, I think that... So going into Andromeda, I almost feel like they took that critique to heart and went in the opposite direction for Cora, if that makes any sense. Like, I feel like... In the way that Ashley's design in the third game, I feel like doesn't suit her personality, I feel the same thing about Cora. And I can't really express why. Like, maybe it's just the heavy, like, I feel like Cora wouldn't be into heavy makeup, like, in the same way, like, she is portrayed. And, like, for, at least when I looked at the concept art for her, they had her, like, with her hair pulled back, and, like, she had just had a very conservative hair color, and I feel like that fits core personality more so in, like, the funky haircut and the bleach that she does, which is fine. It just didn't match her personality in my mind.
You know, I think Cora could have had a lot more work done as a character. And I think what Cora is indicative of is if you look at concept art for Mass Effect 2, Miranda was supposed to be blonde. Mm-hmm. And the idea that BioWare has been trying to do pretty much since Mass Effect 2 is that they've always wanted to do the blonde space vixen, sort of like very, very prototypical as far as the look. As far as like that 70s sci-fi space vixen that is super hot and blonde and all this other stuff. But... there's more to her than there appears. You know what I mean? They've wanted to do that motif. And it's interesting in paper, right? She looks like, you know, maybe she's sort of stereotypical and surface level, but underneath there's more to her. Mm-hmm. So they kind of tried to do that with Miranda. They gave her brown hair and they gave her a plot line with her sister. You know what I mean? And so like, oh, there's more to her. It's like, yeah, kind of, except you cut to really low angle shots of her ass during cutscenes. And so that's a little weird. And so then they were like, okay, for real this time, we're going to do it with Cora, and she's going to be the blonde vixen, like, hot character, but, you know, she's a real tough soldier, and she really wants to live up to Dad Ryder's legacy. I was like, okay, they kind of keep trying to do that, and I just feel like it's never worked. And if it was me, I would have said, look, you tried to do this in Mass Effect 2, and it doesn't really work. Like, why are we going back to this? Like, it's a neat idea, but it doesn't work, and people don't respond to it that well.
I agree. It's... I almost feel like they tried to do the same thing with Vivian a little bit. Because, like, if you look at concert art for Vivian, like, granted, not a space vixen, but rather, like, I almost get the Miranda and Vivian had the kind of the same character bases for, like, the cold, hard bitch that can do whatever she wants because she's powerful or whatever, but she's also very beautiful. And in concept art for Vivian, she was, like, the long, blonde-haired, whatever, and then they chose her to be, like, a black woman later. But, preparation for this episode, I was looking at the different trailers because I want to talk about marketing next. But in one of the trailers for Dragon Age Inquisition, she has bright blue eyes, and I found that very jarring.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, what? It's the, I think it's the Lead Them or Fall trailer. I forget what it is now. But, like, one of the very first trailers, Vivian with blue eyes. I'm like, what? Anyway, but, BioWare just needs to not do those types of women because they're not doing it well.
Well, I mean, see, the thing is, too, it's like, it's not like I didn't like Cora entirely. We talked about this on the Andromeda episode. I found parts of her character to be really endearing. I just think that there is kind of an unevenness to her, kind of like what the original aspects of Cora and then the leftovers of that sort of vixen that's not what you expect motif that they kept trying to sort of put on top of her. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is kind of interesting talking about between Mass Effect and Dragon Age and the difference in the female demographics, and then talking about some of the female characters. I mean, you bring up the thing with Ashley and Cora, so that's definitely true. But then you also talk about, like, you know, Morrigan has, like, very scantily clad. Many of the women in Dragon Age are very sexualized, and yet it, at least on the surface, looking at the numbers, it doesn't seem to be off-putting to female gamers.
Yeah, this almost leads into the marketing thing, but, like, in Dragon Age Origins and 2, the two most sexualized characters in probably the entire series is Morrigan and Isabella. And Morrigan's outfit makes no goddamn sense to me. So, like, it's a bikini top with a really large scarf that somehow connects to the back, which that doesn't make any... If you, like, really look at, like, how Morrigan's shirt works, I don't understand it. And then, like, just the Final Fantasy X Lulu belt bottom. Like, I think that the reason... And this is just me, like, me talking out of my ass here. The reason it almost works with Morrigan versus Cora... Morrigan has, like, this coolness to the outfit, if that makes sense. Like, I look at Morrigan's outfit, and, like, yeah, it's very sexualized, and I get that. But one, Morrigan's own sexualization, like, she, her personality, like, what's one of my favorite quotes of her? It's like, men are always willing to assume two things about a woman. One, that she's in love with them, and then two, that she needs help or something like that. That, like, yeah, okay, I get that. But... So her personality combined with when you look at it, like, it's interesting. She had, I don't know. It's, I don't know how to describe it, that even though she's showing off her boobs a lot, it's not in a way that I think is aimed towards attracting men. It's more of I have boobs. Aren't you jealous? It feels more empowering in a way. And I don't even know how to describe why.
I think you're, I don't know if it's a, are you jealous, but I think you're very right in saying that she's not doing it to attract men. So what I've always picked up from Morrigan, and what I actually quite love about her, is that she has an incredible aloofness, right? She's very aloof towards a lot of people and towards a lot of things. She's almost sort of, confused as to why you're bothering her most of the time about silly things. She's incredibly confident, and yet, and this is why I find her to be such an interesting character, she has a great deal of naivete about society outside of the Kokari Wilds when she first leaves. She even admits to, as a shapeshifter going into town, and she's not quite comfortable around people and part of society, and so she's very naive in some sense, despite the fact that she's also wise about magic, very confident, and very aloof. And so, one of the things that I always found very consistent about her outfit is that it doesn't make sense. And quite frankly, Morrigan is not the type of character who would care that her outfit makes sense. It's revealing, but she's not the type of character who would care that her outfit is revealing. She spends half her time as an animal, and her only companionship is her crazy witch mom. So what men are around that she should care that can stare at her boobs? She doesn't care. The reason why, like, the thing is just draped over her and her bottom is like, it looks like a bunch of belts strapped together, like, that's just what she could find. She lives as a crazy woman in the woods, and she doesn't really care if she's wearing revealing clothing or not, because clothes are stupid. She can turn into an animal. Like, that to me is always what I got from her character. And yeah, but she probably is. She's aware that men find her desirable, but she's just like, whatever. Like, I'm trying to become a powerful maid. Like, I don't really care about any clothes, you know?
And I think the basis of that is also why I don't mind Isabella's design either, because she ain't wearing pants. It's just boots, guys. That weirds me out a little bit. But anyway, it's the confidence held by both of them. Now, if they, like, did the same thing to Meryl, I don't think Meryl, like, if they, like, put Meryl in, like, a bikini top, that would feel really weird to me. If they did the same thing to Liliana, that would feel really weird to me. But because Morrigan and Isabella, like, really own the sexualization, and in a way that, like, they're aware of it. Like, you can talk to them, like, oh, no, these are their outfits. I don't know, it almost feels like they actually chose their outfits. It's not something that, like, some designer was like, I'm gonna put them in a bikini. But
Isabella, I find a little less defensible, to be honest, because I don't know, like, I guess I'm speaking out of ignorance too. Like, I don't know anything about being on ships, but, like, is that the proper pirate attire? Like, don't pirates wear pants?
Oh, probably not. I'd imagine pirates wear pants. And, like, in I don't know how she looks in the comics, now that I'm thinking about it. But in Dragon's Inquisition, like, the different, because she's a multiplayer, the different outfits you can, like, she has her base outfit, but then the rest of the outfits you unlock for her have pants. So, and make a lot more sense in our La Cooler. But anyway, Isabelle is definitely a lot more less defensible, but, like, the way Isabelle is played, and that, like, I feel like, because she talks about having sex a lot, you know, the fact that her not wearing pants almost makes sense, because it's easy access in a way. Like,
you're right. And then, like, she is, in, like you said, she is, in fact, owning her sexuality. She is doing that for a purpose. It's her choice to do that. And so in that sense, it's more, like I said, my theory on Morrigan is she doesn't care that it's sexual. Whereas with Isabella, she's like, no, it is sexual. And that's a deliberate choice.
Yeah. And, like, if you go into, I will say that character backstory, like, I feel like, if you have to really go into a character's backstory and, like, really study about them to suddenly feel okay with them being sexualized, I feel like that's not a good sexualization thing. But because Isabella's personality just right off the bat makes it work, fine. But granted, in her backstory, she was once sold off by her mother to, pay off some weird loans or whatever. And, as Isabella was forced to marry this, like, rich dude. So I feel like, in a way, the sexualization also helps her regain her sexuality, where once it was sold, now she gets to give it on whoever she wants, you know? So I feel like, in a way, there is that, like, owning it, that makes sense to her character when you learn about that. But I think they also make that very apparent in her personality as well. So
that is very interesting. Anyway. It might seem like minutiae to some people, but I think it probably, maybe at least slightly or subconsciously, plays into some of the disparity in the female demographics between the two franchises, because as I think about Mass Effect, I don't know if it's just an aesthetic thing, I don't know if it's just a difference in character design philosophy, but I can't seem to find the rationalization for, say, Samara having, like, the really plunging, like, her boobs are right up front, and I'm like, she's this really sort of stoic, completely justice-minded, like, all she really cares about is being a Justicar and stopping evil, like, doesn't she want to protect her center mass? Like, doesn't she want her armor to cover her chest so she doesn't get shot there?
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I, like, all of the character designs for Andromeda. Like, I get it, it's space, things are tight-fitting, but, like, I think Samantha Trainor, great design, because she's just in, like, the typical outfit, and it's, like, some baggy pants and some rolled-up sleeves. Like, she would wear that. Great. Perfect. I love you, Trainor. But, like, Liara and Samara, like you said, like, just why? Why is it like that? Why does the Asari, like, the Asari in general kind of drive me crazy a little bit, because, like, it's an all-female race. And I think that, which also, they're also very sexy. Where's the all-female race that all look like bugs, you know? Where's that? Why is the only one-gendered race in Mass Effect also the sexy race?
That's aesthetic. Hey. That's just a cool sci-fi thing. That's all. And they're not female, they're monogender.
Okay, I think this happens in the second game, maybe. I can't remember where, but you're going off to some place and you're in a bar somewhere. And I don't know if I've talked about this on here, but when I was playing my first thing of Mass Effect, I was not into the Asari. Because, like I was saying, I'm like, they're just in it for the sex. And it's just, I don't know. It's just, it really just feel, the Asari feel like the male's fantasy a little bit, because it's like, it's basically entirely human except for these weird hair tentacles, and that's it. Oh, and they're blue, you know, like, it just, the design feels so lazy to me. But there was this one dialogue that I only heard it in pieces, and the pieces I heard made me think of something so entirely cool that when I figured out it wasn't real, I was so disappointed. So I thought that I think it's a Turian and a Salarian and a human, and they're all talking about what they find attractive about an Asari, and they kept saying things that didn't line up to me. So what I thought Asari was suddenly is that the Asari actually could have been what, like, whatever form it was, but they were somehow they were mind manipulating each of the races to look sexier than they actually are, if that makes sense. So the Asari in my mind could have been like this blob that was really hideous, but they manipulate your mind to make them seem sexier than they are. And I thought that was such a cool idea. And if that's what the Asari actually were, everything is forgiven. Like, it would have been so interesting to have an entire race where they could have been like the one-gendered bug monster, but they mind manipulate you into making you think that they're the world's sexiest anything. Like, that I think would have been a really good justification for the elf. Like, it looks like a human female minus the blue and tentacles, you know?
Well, I mean, it could be that, and it could also be that Asari are, as far as, like, genetics and breeding with other species, they're kind of like the opposite of elves in Dragon Age, in that they're mm-hmm. dominant genetically. So when someone mates with an Asari, it's always an Asari. Mm-hmm. But they gain greater and greater genetic diversity. Like, there's that issue of pure blood in Mass Effect. If two Asari mate and have a kid, it's not considered as valuable as taking some genetic some genetic diversity from another species. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's that there's almost something biological, and that at some point Asari have mated with humans, Krogan, Salarian. Well, I don't think they can do Turian or Quarian, but certainly the other mm-hmm. ones. And so at some point, the Asari kind of give off biological markers to everyone, and that's why the galaxy as a whole kind of biologically finds them attractive.
I think that's what was actually going on, but
yeah, that's the only justification I can find for the Asari, because you're right, it's definitely aesthetic. It's definitely that someone from a design standpoint thought, let's make cool blue aliens that are sexy. Mm-hmm. That part I agree with. I guess the only justification, and it doesn't fit with Samara, it still doesn't fit for Samara, that's why she mm-hmm. frustrates me, but the only justification that I can think of for some of the hypersexualization of the Asari is they do sort of explain the maiden, matron, and matriarch phases of an Asari's life. Mm-hmm. I do think that it's like, if you are a monogendered species that happens to appear very female to the rest of the galaxy, and everyone just seems to find you attractive, maybe that's a coincidence, maybe it's mind manipulation, maybe it's subtle biology, but everyone seems to find you attractive, and you're gonna live for 1,000 years. You wouldn't spend a couple of years, you know, kind of flaunting your sexuality, like figuring, like, I kind of imagine if you're going to live 1,000 years and you're like, look, I'll spend 600 years being wise and powerful, whatever. I'm going to spend 5 years, like, as a dancer. What the hell? I'm going to live 1,000 years. I kind of imagine, like, that might be something that someone does.
Yeah.
But Samara doesn't fit that. Like, she's already in matron or matriarch stage. Yeah. Like, she should, like, why are her, and she's fighting a lot. It's her job to bring justice to the galaxy, and her chest is completely exposed.
Doesn't she have like high-heeled boots too? High-heeled boots drive me crazy.
Yeah,
like,
the high-heeled boots like, is also...
I like wearing high heels. I don't have anything against high-heeled boots. But everyone who's ever worn high heels, we know you can't run in that shit. And if you can, you can't do it for long. No one's going to do it. But so I don't want to hark on this stuff too long, but one thing I do want to get to is marketing. So have you ever watched the From Sacred Ashes trailer for Dragon Age Origins?
I have, many times actually.
Yes, which it is cool, I'll say that, but it's so much different than how they now market the game, which granted back in 2010, I think is when it came out. Mm-hmm. Like, that is how you marketed a game. You marketed it from, like, because the graphics in games in general were so low, you just made, like, a 3D trailer that, like, if you were lucky, was somewhat similar to the game.
Right.
So there is that. But it, like, the male character was so, like, prominent and do whatever, and then the females who are, even Morgan had a different outfit than she normally wears, and... whatever. But the point is that now when you jump to today, they actually have, granted not in the main marketing, but for the last two DLCs, Descent and Trespasser, they actually had a female protagonist as the one who was giving out the information and it, like, showed in the trailer. Mm-hmm. What are the chances that in the next trailer for Dragon Age 4, they're actually going to choose a female protagonist to market with? Because they're currently doing a lot of that in just gaming in general.
I think it would make sense because they for Mass Effect 3, they did the split trailers. They did one male, mm-hmm. one female. I think at least for one of the trailers, if not most of them. And in Andromeda, they did the same thing. Like when they released a lot of the trailers that showcased male writer, the immediate thing was like, hey, where's the female version? And they pretty much did female versions for all of the story trailers, I think, on Andromeda. And mm-hmm. there's less of a demographic in that franchise. So I would have to imagine that for Dragon Age, they would probably lead with the female protagonist. It would make sense.
Yeah, it would. I would almost like to see, because it's a game where you get to choose your gender. So I think, like, if a commercial was doing it really well, like, in the same commercial, it would flip-flop. Like, maybe, like, the first scene, it's a female. The first second scene, it's a male. Then it would switch every other. Like, one thing I don't want this episode to be about, because I know the comments is going to be like, oh, we just want, you know, female to be on the top. No, I want it to be the same. I want the trailer to equally reflect the game, that you could be both. You could be either. It doesn't really matter. The game's still the same, you know? So, I would... One thing I'm, like, kind of going back to the Young Justice thing, I don't think BioWare is against putting, you know, females and everything, but is EA. Now, EA is mostly about sports and whatever, and those are marketed more towards men. But, like, granted, I don't know much about sports, but is there any, like, sports games where you can play as, like, the WNBA, you know, stuff like that? Like, are there sports games where you can play See, I only know about basketball games and football games, and I don't think there's a female football game. So I kind of
blew my load. WNBA, they just don't have a large enough demographic. The amount of eyeballs that WNBA pulls in is not high. And I'm a huge basketball fan. I'm a huge fan mm-hmm. of the NBA, and I will watch WNBA because as a purist fan of basketball, it's played differently. Not like the rules are different, but like if you're the type of person that notices the difference between the college style of play and NBA style of play, you mm-hmm. watch female and it's much more dependent on ball movement. It's a lot of the times there's a lot more drive and kick. Like you don't have, and I know people are gonna get mad at me for saying this because it sounds gender specific, and it is, but the fact is you just don't have as much of the explosiveness athletically.
Yeah.
And so you end up having more team-oriented play, more passing, more ball sharing, and the pacing's a little bit different. I enjoy it. Like, I'll actually watch it because as a basketball fan, like, I'll just watch basketball. Mm-hmm. But so no. For female sports games, no, except, and this is the one that I think people should really continue to pay attention to as a sport in general, because gender is almost, the line is becoming almost non-existent, and it's UFC. Mixed martial mm-hmm. arts, you can do a career mode with a female fighter, because female fighters are becoming very, you know, Ronda Rousey and, now I'm fucking spacing on everybody else.
I only know Ronda Rousey. So.
No, Holly Holm, who kicked the soul out of fucking Ronda Rousey, like with that head kick, like she pretty much ended her career. Mm-hmm. you know, so there's a lot of Misha Tate, and all, there's a lot of really exciting female fighters that have come through the UFC. And so I've actually done that. I'm a fan of the UFC, and I've played career mm-hmm. mode with a male character and a female character. And delightfully, there's no difference. You just, you know, you are fighting, obviously, the other female fighters, but it's the same thing. You know, you pick your style of fighter and et cetera, to create him how you want to look. You know, it's basically the same.
Out of curiosity, who publishes the UFC game? Because I don't know much about it.
Oh, that's right. No, wait. EA did a version. Is this the one? There were two competing ones, and I think... Mm-hmm. I think it is EA, right? It is EA.
All right.
And they put... Yeah, the last game, they put Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey on the cover. So, and also, in EA's defense, and I hate to even say those words... and again, this is another game. God, I don't even know who I am right now. I've turned to the dark side. I have been seduced. I'm defending EA, and I'm even defending Battlefront 2, because that game has a female protagonist in their story mode. And a woman of color as well.
All right. Which I don't know much about. Did you end up buying it?
I have not, but goddamn, I love The Last Jedi so much. Like, I have such a... like, I'm playing the crap out of SWTOR right now to, like, get my Star Wars fixed. But it's just, like, I want to play Kylo Ren so bad, because that dude's he's a bad motherfucker, and The Last Jedi is an awesome character. But yeah, Battlefront 2, female character who's also a person of color.
Well, maybe my worries of EA fucking things up is just unfounded. Maybe I just don't like EA, and everything's based on that.
I think they're trying to be trendy. Don't get me wrong. I see it as a bit of pandering on their part. I don't trust them. But at the same time, if market forces, like, it's just a reality. And the same way, like, I get frustrated with that also. It's similar to what you mentioned as being a woman. I don't want it to be this celebration that there's Hispanic or black characters. I don't want, and I don't want anyone with a fucking bean counter going like, hey, you got two white people in here. You got to have two black. Like, no. Like, just stop. I don't want that. Nobody wants that. Mm-hmm. I just want everybody to be treated the same. Like, no special treatment for anybody. And I'm not going to cry a river if there's a movie and there's nobody who looks like me. Like, get over it. It's a movie. Like, I don't necessarily need to have all that representation. It's not the most important thing in my life. But the world that most people live in, there's people of different races, there's people of different genders and sexual orientations, and gender's not really binary anymore. And that's just the world that we kind of live in. So if you make art and you tell stories, it kind of does make sense to have a mixture of people. I'm not going to go burn down anybody's studios if they don't do it, but it just kind of makes sense, because that's just what the world looks like now. So as far as EA... Are they turning a little bit, kind of turning over to a new leaf? As someone who still kind of holds out hope for capitalism and free market economics, I would love it if they were doing it because they're a little bit greedy. Because why, you know, maybe for once the free market would actually kind of help us out. And like, and you know, it's like, if they're just going for the market that's female, going for the market of people that want to see different ethnicities represented, well, good. Because we have money to spend, and why shouldn't they do it because of greed? That's great.
Yeah. Hey, like, if it benefits me, why not, you know?
Yeah.
Which I do feel like maybe, like, gaming in general, like, maybe that's why there's so many female protagonists now, is that they realize that, like, oh, they see the dollar signs and it's raking out. I remember one of the very first games that was hailed as, like, oh, it's a female protagonist, so great, was the game Remember Me. Do you remember that game?
I never played it, and it's actually one of those, like, it's on, like, the back. Like, one day I'm going to play that because it looked cool.
Mm-hmm. I didn't play it because I think at the time, at the time I didn't really have anything to play it on, because there was a while there I just kind of gave up on gaming because, like, there was something I was really interested in. And Remember Me was kind of like, oh, that looks really interesting. Like, yeah, it's, you know, it's a female thing. And I as much as I want to be all about, like, equality and gender, like, I own my biases. I am more likely to play a game if there's a female lead in it, just because I'm able to identify it with it more. Yeah. But anyway, so I watched a playthrough of it, and I was like, granted, the gameplay kind of sucked, apparently. But, like, I was at least interested in the story, and I'd be more willing to buy it. And I, for some reason, that, even though the game didn't really do well, it kind of panned, at least in my memory, like, it somehow started off this new age of everyone's like, oh, even if the game was bad, everyone was playing it. A lot of people were buying it because it had a female in it. So maybe that's why everyone's doing a female protagonist now, and almost. Because, like, even though, what I'm trying to say, even though Remember Me panned with, like, critics and stuff like that, people were still talking about it. That makes sense.
No, it does make sense. And like I said, there's a part of me that's like, ugh, they're pandering. But then there's another part of me that's just like, well, they're doing it for a reason that's their motivation. Because I don't think we're going to make progress by trying to guilt trip or like use hashtags to say that there should be more female protagonists or more people of color. I think you vote with your wallet. And if the economic forces move things towards wanting to see stories that look more diverse because that's what real life is, I think that will work because they will chase the dollars. And I think that that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're getting close to it. I do want to throw in, I guess, maybe like a statement, because like you said, as the I'm a dude talking about the issue of female demographics in gaming and gender. And one thing that I do think is important to say, how do I do this without moralizing? Because I don't want to preach at anybody. And I know that there are a lot of guys out there who are just like, oh, I feel like this is being forced on us. I don't want a bunch of female protagonists. And maybe, I mean, this is a little bit of a scarier issue. Maybe there's some white people out there that don't want any people. That's a little bit weirder. But I get the feeling of like not wanting it to be forced on you. That's valid. And I also get the idea of not wanting to be demonized if you do like to play as a male protagonist. Or if you do find that from a role-playing standpoint, you know, you like to play as a male character, maybe because you identify as it more, or maybe because in your head, the character that you came up with just happens to play better as male. Like I had this idea for all of my Star Wars The Old Republic characters, because you've got the 6 class storylines. And like at one point, like I was like, oh, well, let me try and keep it even. Like, let me actually, because I like playing as female characters also. So I'm like, I'll do just as many male characters as female. And then I was like, well, the ideas that I'm coming up with for how I want to role play these characters, some of my cooler ideas just happen to be male characters. Like, I'm not going to force that.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that perspective from a lot of the male gamers who feel like it's being forced. I guess what I would want to say is just like, just chill out, man. Like, just relax. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world if there's strong female characters. It's not going to be the end of the world if Vivian doesn't want to fuck you in Dragon Age. Yeah. Like, so people need to relax. Or if what's her name? Oh, Suvi is not romanceable by a male character. Like, I get it. I was disappointed too, because I didn't realize, as we learned in our Mass Effect Andromeda episode, I didn't realize that until too late. I would just say, like, keep an open mind, like, right? Like, at one point, you're going to have a female protagonist, and you're going to have an all-female party, which I've noticed in Dragon Age as well. That's really cool when you're rocking the whole female party. I just had another moment like that playing The Old Republic, because my Jedi Knight, this is the second time I've rolled the Jedi Knight class in The Old Republic. And I always knew I would roll this class twice, because I was so torn between the voice actors. Oh, that's another thing that I wanted to mention. That was a big deal for why I started playing as female characters, is because I wanted to hear the different performance. And that's such a huge thing. Jennifer Hale is like so loved within the Mass Effect community. And I love Mark Meer, but to me, Shepard is Jennifer Hale. Like, it is female Shepard.
Yeah, I've only played the game through once, but I played it at the same time as my husband did. So I played female Shepard, he played male Shepard, and like every once in a while, because I was quicker than him, so I'd have to like, we've tried to do it at the same time, so I would have to wait on him, so I would listen to him playing, and like, I just liked Jennifer Hale so much more. Like, nothing against Mark Meer, but I think she just brought something into the role that Mark didn't. So
it's Alex, what's her name, Wilton Reagan?
Yeah,
who does Samantha Trainor, who I love. She did a great job with Trainor, but then she's the female, one of the female Inquisitors. And to me, again, like, that is the definitive voice as female Inquisitor. Like, she does such a great job. Mm-hmm. And with the Jedi Knight class in The Old Republic, for the male, it's David Hayter, one of my favorite voice actors of all time. He's most famous for Snake, but he does a great job in Jedi Knight.
Okay.
And then it's Kari Waldron, who did, what's her name from Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, the one female lead. And she's done a variety of other things, like one of my favorite voice actresses. So I guess it started off just wanting to hear the different performances. And then I kind of realized, you're getting to hear different performances. You're getting to role play a character maybe slightly differently. You're getting to design a character in a slightly different way. There's a different experience, and there's different content there for you to enjoy. You really shouldn't limit yourself from enjoying more content if you're a male gamer based on some binary division of like, well, I only want to play as male characters. So mm-hmm. I know I'm rambling, but I guess the general thing I'm trying to say to male gamers who are maybe still a little apprehensive or who feel judged for whatever reason is don't feel judged. Like, there's more content for you to enjoy as a gamer. Like, just enjoy it.
In my own... I'm actually going to get preachy about this one because I don't care.
You go, girl.
I want to highlight the same thing you said, but almost reverse it in a way that I think that, like, especially like a younger me, even like I only played female characters because like the males bored me. But when I actually like in Dragon Age, I think was my first time I actually finished the game with a dude. I like found it like, oh, this could be really interesting, and I can relate to it. Like there, you can do it in a way, and I. Watch me get flamed here, but I am very highly critical of a lot of modern feminism in a way. I took a feminism class when I was in college, and I just, every time I walked in that class, I just wanted to bash my head against the door. the something that bothered me, I'm just going to tell a story of this class real quick. There was a lecture we had that, it was against birth control, like, not against birth control, but against, like, birth control only being aimed at women, which I get, that is a problem. Mm-hmm. But they were saying that, like, oh, well, you know, women have to take oral contraceptives and that do bad things to their body and whatever. Men should have to do that too. And so they should get vasectomies. And then when they want to have children, just reverse the vasectomy. Girl, that ain't how that works. Like, one, we shouldn't be saying we hurt our bodies, you should hurt bodies too. You should hurt your body too. That's a terrible mindset. And then two, vasectomies, like, you can only reverse it within the first couple months, and then even that might not even work.
Right. It's so not 100% success rate on the reversals.
Yes. I think a lot of modern feminism right now is aimed at revenge, and I hate that. I hate that, like, oh, now, like, a lot of female gamers, and this is something I don't want this episode to be about, like, we need more female games. We need to be a majority. We need to have all of them being female-aimed games. No, I don't want then the guys to suddenly be like, well, can we have a game for once? Like, I want to play. I don't want that. I just want more 50-50, some more variety on both. That's what I want. I don't want this revenge scenario where now you, white man, who is cisgendered and heterosexual, now you have to feel what we have felt for so long. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I just want to have something that I can identify like you do. Instead of putting one down, bring everyone else up. That's all I want.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I'm actually, it's important that you say stuff like that, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's important that, number one, women are not necessarily forced to conform to all of the ideologies of modern feminism, because mm-hmm. it's a concept, it's a philosophy, it's worth debating, it's worth discussing, and whoever would like to adhere to it can. But I don't think there should mm-hmm. be pressure on any woman to say, you are a modern feminism exactly to the degree that social justice warriors on Twitter say that you should be.
Yes.
Any more than a person of color should be expected to adhere to identity politics and racial politics exactly the way that people of a particular party say that you should. I feel some of yes. that pressure as well, where I'm like, listen, I don't want any revenge on any white people. I don't want retribution. I don't want, like I said, I don't want a tit for tat to make mm-hmm. sure that it's exactly this many people of color and exactly this many white people in a movie. That would be silly to me. Like yeah. you said, I want equality that's natural and diverse, because in the end, if you throw a bunch of people of different genders and different race and all this together, you know, you get people who are talented rise to the top, and it's always going to be a diverse mix at the top, at the middle, at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There we go. That's what this episode is about. Just equality. Was there anything more that you think you want to say on this topic?
I feel like there was something that I had, like, in my say this before we close thing, and I forgot what it was. It must have not been that important. We covered a lot of ground. I feel like we covered a lot of the important stuff, and I feel like we managed to talk about this in a way that's sensible, because it's such mm-hmm. a contentious topic. It's such a thing yeah. that's becoming so divisive, where, like you said, there seems to be I think it's more of a vocal minority that seem to be advocating for retribution.
Yes.
More than equality, and then there's another vocal minority of very nasty people who really actually do seem intent on keeping certain sections of people down. And it's unfortunate that the entire discourse has become about those two extremes, because they hate each other so much, and they seem to hate everyone so much. And the vast majority of people are moderate, they're in the middle, they're centered, They want to live a normal life where, yeah, you know, media, like I said, a movie's not the most important part of your life, but it does kind of make sense if there's equal representation in games and movies.
Yeah.
And I think most people want a sensible, calm, respectful discussion about it. And I don't know, hopefully we did that a bit today.
Which I don't want to get too political here, but I almost feel like that's the problem with modern politics, is that everyone is so, like, way over there and then way over here, and like there's mm-hmm. there's no one in the middle anymore, you know. Like, I definitely identify kind of like more in the middle politically, and I just, who's doing that? Nobody. Who do I vote for? I don't fucking know. Like, everyone sucks right now.
Shepherd for president.
There we go. So in short, if you just want to skip the episode, Shepherd for president. Anyway. But I think with that, if you have nothing else to say, where can people find you?
People can find me on YouTube under The Exalted March.
And you can find me at Gilderthalen on everything except for Reddit, which is Gilanon. The end. Okay. And with that, guys, Dareshiral.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.